See, you are what you are in this world. That's either one of two things. Either you're somebody or you're nobody.
A lot of this is behind the scenes or under the hood.
It's time to just look under the hood. No stone should be unturned.
I don't even know what that means. Look under, I got an engine underneath my hood.
Most important thing in business is honesty, integrity, hard work, family. Never forgetting where we came from.
Hey, pop the hood.
Pop the hood?
Pop the hood.
Welcome to the Under the Hood podcast with Jonathan Hood.
What's up, everybody, and welcome in to the Under the Hood podcast. I'm Jonathan Hood with you every Saturday, getting your weekend set up right. As always, I appreciate everyone downloading the podcast, and I hope that you've been able to go back and listen to the archives in Under the Hood podcast. We've had some terrific guests. We had Stephen Gaither, the founder of HBCU Game Day, on. Really interesting conversation with him. And of course, since I've been doing the Saturday podcast, gives me the opportunity to just kind of wring my brain out and just kind of talk to you about what's on my mind. First and foremost, our Under the Hood podcast is brought to you by DraftKings. There's no better place to get in all the action for football, everything else, with DraftKings at Casino Queen Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app. If you haven't done so, download the DraftKings at Casino Queen Sportsbook app. DraftKings at Casino Queen Sportsbook has a promo code. It's WMVP. WMVP is the promo code if you'd like to be able to jump in on that when it comes to sports gambling. Speaking of WMVP, thank you so much for the support. I've been with David Kaplan doing mornings since August 17th. That was the time that the station changed its schedule, and I went from evenings to mornings. And I just want to thank you so much for the support. If you have been on the internet, you probably have seen some columns or conversations about how well the station is doing, and that is because of you. So thank you so much, as always, for supporting our show. We're having a fun time, a blast. I know I am, doing 7 to 10 with David Kaplan for our morning show. So thank you. If you listen once, if you listen every day, thank you for your support. I really appreciate it. And interesting week, because we were able to review two Bear games in 1 week. You know, one side of it is the Bears and their loss against the Indianapolis Colts, and how pedestrian the offense looked, and how the defense, you know, they really hung in there, I thought. And it was an opportunity for the Bears to break through at home, and they did not. And then we see on Thursday night, the Bears win against Tampa Bay. It's so funny about the National Football League, right? How likely it is for the Bears to beat the Colts and an aging Phillip Rivers, even though that offensive line, defensive line for the Colts are very strong. You kind of thought that maybe Foles will be able to break out, the offense would break out. It did not. But yet the Bears, a few days later, beat the greatest to ever do it, Tom Brady, in that offense. Yeah, they had injuries. Yeah, they had a lot of people that are not available, but you still gave Brady the benefit of the doubt, because he's always been able to find a way. Except Thursday, he was not able to find a way. The Bears win that game, and I always like to hold our teams accountable. You know, I know that for those that have listened to me for a long time, if you're a longtime listener of mine, you know it's about holding our teams accountable. You know, the idea that people just root for laundry and anything that the Bears do is great and is just nonsense. My job is to be able to hold our teams accountable, because I know what it looks like when you win. I know what it looks like when you're at the mountaintop, and some just believe that, you know, everything the Bears do is great. When the Bears win, everything is positive. Yeah, mostly is positive. But for me, when I look at teams that I root for, teams that I watch, I look for incremental success. Like, how can the Bears be able to be even better for the next game and the next game? How do you climb that mountain? So you take the wins as they come. There's no doubt. You don't take that away, but you always expect more, because the team expects more. So my expectations are Nagy's expectations. And some people always get that twisted, which I don't get. Like, I'm a fan, but also I'm a fan with a keen eye and have expectations. Some just say, oh, the Bears won, so it's all good. It's great. It's great. Like, it is great. It's great for the week. But then you want to have that same momentum. You want to continue to do this. I'll tell you a quick story, real quick. Some people believe that if the Bears go 3-13, that's great for me. That's great because we could just be negative 13 weeks out of 16. That's not true. That's not true. What you want is a team like the Bears now, where if you're not sure whether or not they are a playoff team, not sure if they're going to be a great football team, I'd rather have that. I'd rather have a 4-1 team to talk about and talk about all the great things about the 4-1 team and how they can get better for the next week than to talk about a team that's the drizzling shits. I would never want to deal with that. But more times in my career than not, talking about Chicago Bears football, I've talked about a team that's not been very good. So the idea that I root for them to be horrible or anyone in my profession roots for them to be bad, can't do that. It's much better this way. It's a lot more positives and a lot more things to look forward to than knowing a team that's only destined for the draft. How about the Lakers? I'm going to call my cousin Wiley in just a second because LeBron James, here's my thought on LeBron James. LeBron James is one of the greatest basketball players I've ever seen. To a certain generation, like the millennials, they see LeBron as their Michael Jordan, and I have no problem with that. How Gen Z, how millennials look at LeBron is how baby boomers looked at possibly Chamberlain or Russell or basketball players of that ilk during that time. But there's something with LeBron. The Lakers decide yesterday that they are going to wear the dark uniforms, the Kobe Mamba uniforms, and then they lose in those Mamba uniforms. They've never lost when they've worn those Mamba uniforms until last night. Jimmy Butler had a big middle finger up. It's like, oh, is this our funeral? How about this? How about we beat you in those black uniforms? I got to talk to my cousin Wiley about that and a few other things. My crazy cousin Wiley loves sports as much as I do. I'm going to give him a call right here on our Saturday edition of the Under the Hood podcast. Nothing like a Saturday morning with my crazy cousin Wiley, who loves sports as much as I do, here on the Under the Hood podcast. What's going on, man?
What's going on, cousin?
I'm good, man. I'm good. You've been absent in my life lately. I think it's because since Trubisky lost his job, can't find you anymore. I don't know what happened. As soon as Foles took over, can't find you.
Well, yeah, I'm still in mourning right now. That was a really tough pill to swallow.
As this big Trubisky fan, I know that you were all about MT10, and then he loses his job in Atlanta. Where you been?
Well, I mean, I have a lot of number 10 jerseys to retire in my house, though. So, you know, trying to figure out what to do with him. So, yeah, it's a tough time.
I said I was very surprised that Mitch was pulled in Atlanta because I thought, okay, I don't know if the Bears win the game, if he's in there or not, but you have to give him the opportunity because it is Atlanta's defense, right? And so as I was watching it in real time, it was around 2:00 on that Sunday. I'm like, wait a minute, why is Foles in there? Yeah, the offense doesn't look good, but it wasn't to the point where it was so bad that he should have been pulled. I said that at the time, so it surprised me.
Well, I think Nagy can't make up his mind as far as he wants to go. And I think he was looking for pretty much any reason to make the switch. And once Trubisky proved that really bad interception, it was like, hey, you know what? And he made the switch. Because we've seen up until the last couple minutes of the first half of the Tampa Bay game, it's the same offense, maybe less.
Mm-hmm.
He had scored 3 points for in the previous six quarters. 3 points. Outside of that garbage time touchdown the week before. They had scored 3 points. You know, and we had seen the more the veteran quarterback make some of the same mistakes, and sometimes possibly worse than the ones that Trubisky was making. But I think there's a comfort level Nagy has with both. So it's like, hey, you know what? I like this guy a little bit more. I have some experience working with him. If you want a Super Bowl as a replacement player, let you roll with him. But Well, I don't think Foles is a terrible quarterback. I didn't think Trubisky was either. I think the successful offense is going to begin in with Maggie getting his head out of his butt, you know, because, you know, we're seeing some of the same problems that we saw before. Just no flexibility with the offense. Like, Foles comes to him when they're near the goal line, you know, in the red zone, like, hey, I'm seeing something. Maggie's response essentially was, well, we can't change it because we didn't practice that during the week.
Right.
Who cares? You know, like, it's the same thing we're seeing with Trubisky. Well, we're only focusing on the things we practice. Well, why is that? You know, like, you have to have some plan outside of what you practice. You know, like, you have to be willing to adjust to the game that's in front of you. And, you know, he seems to be unwilling to make those adjustments.
Well, you are right when you say that in the Colts game that some of the throws we saw from Foles were similar to Trubisky, but yet Trubisky got pulled and Foles did not. Now, it's interesting that in that game and also in the first half of the Tampa game, Trubisky's name started to trend again. People was like, well, maybe they should re-switch. Like, but my point is with all this is that, you know, it's funny how Matt Nagy just closed the door completely on Trubisky. He was just like, no, moving forward, Foles is going to be our guy. Like, no matter what. So Foles could be complete ass for like three games in a row and you're not going to go back to Mitch. Like, I understand that if you have two quarterbacks, you have none. But the point is, though, Wiley is like, he completely closed the door on him. And that's fine, but people have to understand that Nick Foles is not necessarily the savior. He was for the Eagles, but the idea that you have someone that is quality back there, like he can really turn a team around, well, maybe for the short term, but not for the long haul. I don't see it that way.
Yeah, he doesn't have a record of success. Like, he has made a lot of money off of that brief playoff run that led to Super Bowl for the Eagles.
Yeah.
But outside, he hasn't done much in his career. I mean, compare their numbers for their career, look better. You know, but we saw Foles beat Tom Brady. You know, we're like, oh, well, he beat Brady. Let's pay the man. Like, the Jaguars loved him so much, mm-hmm. they were willing to take a $30+ million cap hit this year to walk away from him. You know, like, hey, you know what? We've seen enough of this guy. We know he will not be able to sustain that magic we saw in the playoff run. Let's just take this cap hit and let's move on with the quarterback who is not really good. You know, we'll take Gardner over him.
Right.
And that's kind of how they move forward. But I think there's a case of, like, stubbornness from Nagy. You know, like, he was brought in, and he won't be the first guy who lied on a job interview. You know, he was brought in to develop Trubisky into a competent or, you know, at least really good quarterback. And we've seen flash of what Trubisky could be if he was consistent, but you know, that's it, because you have a coach who's like, hey, I see what your good qualities are, you know, and I see things you do bad, so we're going to run an offense that's focused on the things that you don't do well. You know, like, you have to make adjustments that fits your quarterback, that fits your offense that you currently have. You can't look at Mahomes and say, hey, I want to do what Mahomes is doing.
Right.
We all just, you know, we don't have Patrick Mahomes, unfortunately. You know, so we can't run an offense that has Tyreek Hill, you know, and the weapons that they have, because we don't have those same players. You know, like, our Allen Robinson probably would be the fourth option in Kansas City. He's by far our number one option.
Oh.
You know, like that. So, like, the talent wise, it's just completely different. And I say this, I think Nagy is a really good head coach. I think how he keeps that team together, like, there's no leaks. You know, and I know the defense has to be pissed most weeks. You know, and he still managed to keep that team together. So I think he's really good as a head coach, but when it comes to calling plays, I think it's probably time to, you know, go the Belichick route. Let someone else do it.
Well, I'll tell you what, if Nagy wasn't calling plays, he'd just be standing there. He'd be like McCarthy in Dallas. Like, McCarthy's not calling those plays like he was in Green Bay. He's just a traffic cop. He just standing there. Like, I mean, if Nagy could be there as a motivator, but if he didn't have a play sheet in front of him, he'd be useless because he didn't have any, like, real imagination defensively. I mean, that's what Chuck Pagano's for. And I always think, like, you fired a couple of guys on the offensive side of the football on the staff. And by the way, if people forget, that last press conference that Bears had before when the season ended, Wiley, like, he was like, oh, no, we love our staff. Everything's great. And he fired, like, two coaches or three coaches 2 hours later. So, but, like, I don't know what John DeFilippo does if Nagy's always calling the plays. You know, it's like, and a perfect example of what I'm talking about is you saw in the game, I think it was the second half, maybe third quarter, where Foles has got things going. And then, like, all of a sudden, you know, he's 7-for-7. He's matriculating the ball down the field. And all of a sudden, they're up-tempo, and then it just stops. And then Foles on the sidelines like, why did you stop me? Like, we were going in a tempo, and Nagy's like, no, let's stop and let's try to evaluate. And he's like, well, if we're going tempo, we got the defense on our heels. Why are you stopping me? It's interesting. And I said this on Friday with Kaplan. I said, you know, it's Nagy's way or the highway, right? He'll listen after the fact, but whatever he thinks is right, he's going to do it. And to me, you have to have some trust in your quarterback to do the right thing. Even a veteran like Foles, right? If you think he's washed or not, whatever, you still have to trust your quarterback in his natural instincts instead of just like, no, I want you to throw this, you know, this 1 yard out to Patterson. Well, I think that quarterback should have the ability to audible too, but that's just me.
Yeah, I agree, and I think that's just being so rigid when it comes to play calling, when it comes to preparation. You know, like, honestly, some of the best play we saw from Trubisky was when there was an up-tempo offense, or he was calling his own plays.
Yeah.
You know, imagine that, like, just playing backyard football, and we saw this sort of thing. Oh, the offense looked really good. They were at least moving the ball when he was just kind of, you know, playing up tempo and doing his thing. And then Nagy was like, no, we must call this screen that hasn't worked in 3 years, but I believe it's going to work right now. You know, oh, it didn't work. Shoot. But, okay, well, let's hand the ball off to Patterson because, you know, he's going to get a big chunk. Oh, he's still big. All right, fourth down. All right, we'll just get the field goal. Like, you're killing your team. Like, you have to be flexible. You have to be, like, whatever you saw on game film, that's great. You know, you prepare for it. But you have to be able to prepare for things that you may not see. You know, and I think that what we're seeing now is some of the things that Trubisky was actually saying, like, hey, well, we didn't see this, so we couldn't. We couldn't adjust to it. And we're like, oh, well, Trubisky is just, you know, he's an idiot. Maybe he is. But we're seeing the same things now. And Foles is being an idiot. Like, because the coach isn't willing to make adjustments beyond what he's prepared for. You know, and that's a sign of someone who probably shouldn't be calling play.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's, you know, working this show every morning, I think that more and more the audience is realizing, and the people that listen to this podcast or people that listen to me when I was doing nights, they already know, but it's kind of like informing this new audience that, like, I am not against the Bears. I know that you're not against the Bears because you're a big Bears fan. But the point is that we've seen this before, right? You want to be able to hold teams accountable. And we both know what it looks like when it's right, like watching Kansas City. You know, we see the New England Patriots when they won all their Super Bowl championships. We know what it looks like when it's right. And I just look at the Bears week to week. And with them being 4-1, that's great for this Bears team because I didn't expect them to be, you know, win four out of their first five games. But I look at them as saying, hey, it's great that they're 4-1. Now, how can they capitalize on that the next week? You know, some will just classify what we're talking about as hate or, you know, taking a look at the team and tearing them apart. We're not doing that. We're just saying how you can get better from week to week, because, you know, tomorrow's not promised in the NFL. You can lose the next 4 or 5 games. I don't expect them to do that, but I think when you're an adult, you hold your teams accountable and root at the same time. I think you can do both.
Absolutely. And I think that even as a meatball bitters fan, you know, you understand that, hey, so you take a step back and like, you know what, I wanted to win all 16 games, or you can keep the playoffs. Probably won't happen, but, okay, what does this team do well? What are their flaws, and how can you hide their flaws so they can win more games?
Yeah.
And I think defensively, like, they're still really, really good. I wouldn't say, you know, like, they're not 2018. They're not quite there. It was nice to see a Khalil Mack show up for work on Thursday.
I'm
happy for that. But, like, offensively, they're not hiding their flaws. You know, and that's frustrating as a Bears fan. You're like, hey, you know, you do these things well. Let's do more of those things. You know, and I listened to your show, I think during the summer, and you had a caller, you know, referred to Trubisky as January in the Bears calendar failure.
Yeah.
I think really that's Nagy now. I think that's Nagy, and I think we're starting to see that, you know, Nagy's stubbornness has been holding Dolphins back, whatever it could potentially be. And I think he's a really good head coach, smart guy, and you're like, at some point you have to, you know, take a step back and see, like, hey, you know what, I'm not doing a good job at this. Well, let someone else call some plays for half or a quarter, you know, just to get a different feel for the game, and maybe you'll see something different. Because he didn't have a lot of experiences with that in Kansas City, and I fear that we'll waste a great defense before he figures out how to consistently be a good play caller.
Yeah, I said that this Bears defense may not be the Fangio defense, but that's okay. Like, you're still top 5, top 10 because of your personnel. I love somebody clapping back at me yesterday. It was like, you know, because I said on Thursday, hey, you know, I want the Bears to have more splash plays defensively. You know, it's a Mike Tomlin reference. Like, I want more splash in my defense, right? And so, you know, we can look at all these numbers all we want, Wiley, and we'd be like, hey, you know, the Bears are top 3 in stopping the run, or top 5 in this and top that. But, man, unless you got the quarterback on the ground or making it very difficult for him on hurries, I don't care about any about those numbers. And then somebody said, oh, you know, here's your splash plays. I'm like, well, yeah, like Khalil Mack for the first time all seasons actually able to get to the quarterback. He had to hip toss some dudes, but he finally got there. You know, that's the whole thing. Like, I know it won't be Fangio's defense, but it's good enough to keep you in a ball game. Like, they give up 10 points in the first quarter, and then the rest of the time, Brady could not get home. And so I was happy with that.
Yeah, I thought they played really, really well. And it was like it was sort of like a safety game for them. It's like, hey, you know, we don't really care what the offense is doing. You know, we're going to make sure you don't score touchdowns. And that's what they did. You know, they kept them out of the end zone and took the ball away with the fumble, and gave the offense a chance to get back to the game in the first half. And that's what you want to see from a Chicago Bears defense. So really excited about the defense. Really excited to see Khalil Mack show up for work. Kyle Fuller is probably, I mean, yeah, you know, Khalil Mack has been showing up on payday with a ski mask on, you know, for a while now. I know the analytics, you know, we're in, like, of course, it becomes this analytical thing, like, well, whoa, he's the blocker, you know, most of the time. Well, who cares? Because he's back to quarterback.
Right.
You know, like, tell me when he sacks the quarterback. Tell me when he causes a fumble. And we saw, like, the splash play. But the defense is playing well. And hopefully it continues. We have, 10 days to prepare for the Colts. But you still want to see it before from the offense. And until you think you can see, you know, just give me the Jim Miller Bears offense. And I think we can go pretty far in the playoffs.
Yeah. It's only been a couple of times in our lifetime where the offense looked good. Jim Miller, Eric Kramer, Jim McMahon.
Yeah.
You're younger than me, so the 85 Bears, I remember that team. And actually, that offense wasn't awesome. It was just good enough, you know. So looking at the next few games, tell me this. Let's see. It's at Carolina and Teddy Bridgewater. It's at the Rams. That is a Monday night game against the Rams and Goff. The New Orleans Saints is week 8, and the Titans is week 9. So I give you 4 games. How many games will the Bears win in those 4?
As a meatball fan, I think they can win all 4. The Carolina game, like, Bridgewater doesn't scare me at all. Like, I think he's a decent quarterback, but somewhat overrated. So I think Bears defense won't have a problem with him. I think Goff has been, it's not really a really good quarterback, but his coach does a great job of hiding, at least attempting to hide his flaws. And we saw a couple years ago when the Bears exposed him. Like, the Bears exposed him as a quarterback, and he was never the same. He still hasn't been the same, other than a couple games here and there. So I think McVay is hiding his flaws, and I think we'll, you know, just be able to contain him. The Saints is more of an issue, even though I think Drew Brees is, you know, is pretty much done. You know, I still think that their running game and their weapons on offense could create commissions. Because I look at all these games, it's like, you have to stop them from scoring. Yeah. We can hold them under a certain number of points, we have a chance. Because I don't necessarily think the offense will explode. So the Saints and the Panthers game, the Titans game, worried me the most. Because trying to stop Derrick Henry, you know, I think that's going to be a struggle, you know, all game. Because we're struggling stopping the run with the younger running back. You know, we're talking about Kamara and Henry, two of the elite running backs in the NFL. You know, that's going to be pretty tough consistently, not both. But, you know, I'm hoping for, I would love to see, four, but I'm thinking more likely than not, we'll probably put the 4 games.
I think that's fair. I could see at worst 2-2, at best 3-1. I don't know if they can, I'm not sure that they can beat Tennessee on the road. But we'll see. That's going to be a strong test for the defense because of Derrick Henry on that game in the 8th. But we'll see. I want to ask you about the NBA, too. This bubble life has been amazing, just how these players have been able to stand this. I mean, that's amazing that they have that testicle, you know, that fortitude to be able to stay in that bubble. And so here we are with the finals. And Jimmy Butler is saying, okay, you're going to wear those Mamba black uniforms. It's our funeral. How about this? How about we beat your ass? How about we win? How about we win again? Now, the Heat may lose this series. More than likely, they will. But it's not like Jimmy Butler's going out with a fight. This is the thing I'm looking at the most, Wally, with this. It's one thing to look at LeBron, more than likely going to win his another championship with another team. It's a great feat. But I'm looking at Jimmy Butler out of all of this and saying, Jimmy was with the Bulls. Jimmy was with Minnesota, Philadelphia, and gets his own place in Miami. Like, I need to be the leader of this team, and he has been. I think this series says a lot about who Jimmy Butler is and who he's becoming, even more so than what the Lakers are doing.
I am floored by what I've seen from Jimmy Butler. Like, I thought he was, for years, I thought he was like a top, you know, 15 player in the league. Just one of those grindy guys, but not special. And watching him in these playoffs, in these finals, the special player. He's the guy that you want in the back alley with you, you know, when your life is on the line.
Right.
Like, he leaves it all on the court. Like, watching him last night, he's like, he's not going to lose this game. You know, he has nothing left in the tank at all, but he's not going to let them lose this game. And more importantly, he's not going to leave it up to, you know, Duncan Robinson or, you know, any other player when it comes to taking his shot down the stretch. He's going to live and die with whatever he does offensively when it comes to putting the ball in the basket. He puts the ball in the basket. And then you have LeBron on the other hand, you know, where he played a hell of a game. You know, even at the end of the game, he was playing bully ball. You know, and I'm like, hey, this is good to see. LeBron's wearing a mama jersey, you know, channeling mama right now. He's like, hey, I'm going to shoot the ball. And then you get the last possession, and there's 15 seconds left, and he's passing the ball to Danny Green.
Yes.
And you're like, why? You're like, if you're going to lose this game, you know, lose because you missed the shot. We can live with, as a fan of the league, I can live with that, watching that. Like, hey, you know what? LeBron, you know, left all on the court, played a hell of a game, just missed that last shot, played a great game. But you passed the ball to Danny Green, but when he touched the ball, you could tell he didn't want anything to do with shooting that ball, but he had to. And he, of course, missed it. You know, and then, you know, obviously, you got, you know, Morris channeling his inner J.R. Smith. And, you know, that was pretty much the game. But, like, watching, like, it's been a great finals. Like, I'm pulling for the Heat. You know, I know the chances of them of winning, especially with the injuries. But, like, just watching the way that Jimmy Butler is playing basketball and the way he's willing his team to victories over a far more talented Lakers team, you know, it's like, man, you want to see a guy like that rewarded with a trophy.
I need to know if Chicago's own Perspectives High School's Anthony Davis is healthy enough to play on Sunday. Here's what's going to happen. Next time that you and me and Maceo and Terrence, when we get together, we're going to go through the top players that ever played in high school basketball in Chicago. I'm not sure I think we can go 25 deep without saying Anthony Davis. I'm just saying, nothing against the 28 and 12, but it's just like, I don't know if he's 100%. That's one thing. But then you make the great point about the end of the game, right? Dude, this is a chance to win the championship. And so you're trying to make somebody a hero? This ain't a regular season game in February. What the hell are you doing? You know, like, well, I mean, LeBron has to, and he scored 40. But look, I know he scored 40.
I'm watching the game, and I'm looking like, hey, you, Michael Jordan sees Jimmy Butler going at him and putting his team up.
Yeah.
Kobe Bryant sees Jimmy Butler going at him and putting his team up, you know, to win the game. Is Michael Jordan or Kobe Bryant passing the ball to Danny Green if it's 5-on-1? No shot.
No.
No shot. No shot. You know, no shot. You know, they're like, hey, you know what? I see you, Jimmy, but take that, you know, take this too. Game winner,
right?
Over, you know, like that's what it is. And LeBron's like, hey, I'm making the right basketball play. I don't care about the right basketball play, you know. Like, yeah, it was the right play. You hit the open man, but that open man was afraid to touch the ball. Like he was like, oh, he passed it to me. Oh shit, I have to shoot. Oh. All right, man, I missed it. I'm sorry. I mean, I know you expect me to miss it anyway, but you know. My bad. Like, he had no confidence in that shot.
No, I know.
When you see a player catch the ball and they believe they're going to make that shot, it looks a little different. Danny Green was like a guy, like a kid that was in the game, he was on the court, but he was trying to avoid getting the ball. And the ball found him. He was like, oh, wow. What do I do? I guess I'm supposed to shoot. Oh, man. You know, he didn't want to shoot the ball. LeBron has, as the best player, he has to take that shot. And to play a game like he played, and then leave it up to Danny Green. You know, it's really unfortunate, you know, to watch, especially the guy who grew up watching many of the great players, like, hey, you know what? We're going to win and lose with whatever I do. You know, and I can live with that. I can live with that. Even Jimmy Butler was like, hey, isolation. Give me the ball. We're going to win and lose with me taking each shot.
Right. Yeah, I just, that Mamba uniform thing tripped me out because I'm like, oh, they're undefeated in the Mamba uniforms until last night. Like, but here's the thing, Wiley, you don't create your own narrative, man. Like, he's trying to make it too perfect. Like, you know, tonight, where's the clinching night? So we're going to put on, you know, what Kobe would have wanted. Don't do that. Don't do that, because now that just adds more fuel to the Heat. And that's saying that the Heat are a great basketball team. But what I'm saying is that you just don't want them on the other side to be like, oh, so you're wearing these because you think the series is over. Well, how about this? How about if we do this to you? How about we keep it close? How about Jimmy Butler goes for 35 and 12 and 11? How about Duncan Robinson has one of the great games of his career? How about that? And how about we beat you with seven players?
Right.
Like, you know, they only went too deep on the bench with Iguodala and Kendrick Nunn. So I just, you know, I respect LeBron James as a basketball player. To a certain generation, this is their Jordan. So I totally understand that. But at the same time, you know, there's some certain things he does that it scratches my head. Like, why are you creating your own narrative? Just win the games. That's all that matters. Don't worry about the outside fluff.
Yeah, it shouldn't matter. It shouldn't matter, but especially at this point in his career, but for whatever reason, it still does. And I think also we're saying, though, that, you know, Anthony Davis, you know, he doesn't have that it gene either. You know, he's lacking that it. You know, and you're watching two guys who are really talented, who don't necessarily have that it gene. And you need that when there's winning time. Especially, you know, if it's close, you know, where talent just can't always overwhelm your opposition. You know, and right now we're seeing that Jimmy Butler has that itch, you know.
Yeah.
He has that itch, and he's going to leave everything on that court. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, the next game, you know, they had to bring a stretcher out there for him for the end of the game. That's how he's playing. And, you know, that's what you want. It inspires you at the game to watch something like that. Like, wow, look at this kid. You know, he's leading it all on the court. And I don't think, you know, AD can say the same thing. And, you know, when ball today green, I don't think he can say the same thing. You're not leaving all in. You have to pick that shot.
I just, you know, you can't, you're trying to make things perfect. And listen, we saw Michael do it with Steve Kerr or to guys, but, you know, they were confident in themselves that they could make those shots, you know, but when you're that dude, you have to be that guy. If you miss a shot, who's going to be on you? You missed a shot. I mean, that happens to the best of them. Michael's missed shots, but don't try to paint that perfect moment. Like you're like, oh, if he has this shot, then I'm going to be immortalized. No, it's not about that, bro. It's not about that. What the hell, man? The fuck?
Just win the game. You're allowing the Heat to help. That's what there's a chance that you may not be helped. You know, like, get into this going to, you know, that ankle's going to, or that heel is going to hold up. You know, who knows that? So you're leaving too much to chance. Get it over with. You know, because there's more pressure on you in game six. You know, because you're trying to avoid, you know, a winner-take-all game seven. You know, and just a little bit more pressure. And there's less pressure on the Heat now because they're just playing. You know, it's like, hey, we have nothing to lose. You know, so you get it over. You don't give your opponent an opportunity when you have a chance to put them away. And the Lakers have. And I think, you know, if the Lakers lose this finals, the stain on LeBron's career, you know, it's it's going to, my title's record, going to be even more magnified. Like, yeah, you've gotten to the final, what is it, 11 times?
Mm-hmm.
But you've only won three. You know, like, you can't go 3-8 in the finals. Like, we don't consider Jerry West a top 2-3 player of all time. You know, didn't win enough. You know, he's a logo, but he wasn't winning.
Right.
Those Celtic teams were kicking it in. You know, so, like, you can't be considered one of, you can't be on Mount Rushmore when you're 3-8 in the finals. You know, when Jimmy Butler beats you in the finals.
Yeah.
You know, like that can't happen. So, yeah. Like, yeah, there's a little more pressure on LeBron and Lakers, but, yeah, it's been, the bubble has been really great basketball.
Yeah.
And I know you probably can't, replicate that next season, or hopefully you won't be able to, because hopefully we'll have things, this pandemic under control, but, like, just watching that type of basketball, like, it's, I hadn't seen that the type of play in years. You know, it was really, really fun to watch. You're seeing a lot of guys who, you can tell they love the game so much. And then, obviously, you see the ones who, you know, were itching to leave the bubble. But, yeah, it's been great.
It has been. And I'll leave you with this. And it's a big what if. If the Heat were able to win this series, and I'm not sure that they can, but if they were, man, let me tell you, LeBron's legacy, if he loses this, oh my God, like that would set the frame. I was talking to Ryan Hollins last night. I was texting back and forth with him, and I said, man, he grew up as a Laker fan in Los Angeles. I said, man, if the Lakers lose this series, it sets the Lakers franchise back for sure. For sure, it sets it back. Like Mamba, black Mamba uniforms. You know, you think that it's just fait accompli that you could beat the Heat. And, man, it does two things. It sets the franchise back, and it puts Eric Spoelstra in the Hall of Fame. For sure.
Absolutely.
For sure. So, I don't know, man. So, this has been a weird, obviously, 2020 has been very odd. And my hope is that we can all get back together and watch football again. Because the Hood Cave is just lonely. It's just me. It's alone in a sad room with just one bottle of Crown Royal. It's not as noisy when you and your brother are going back and forth. You know.
I'm hoping that we can get down there and watch some Bears playoff games, watch some basketball games going forward, and hopefully we're all doing the smart thing, you know, socially distancing, wearing a mask, washing our hands, you know, and so we can get back to life as we were accustomed to.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, definitely
missed the case. I miss you guys going back and forth when it's a key part of the Bears game and you guys arguing whether or not Dominique should have won a championship in the NBA or not. I mean, that's I just miss that. It's nothing like like Maceo after like, you know, five or six shots, you know, talking about the Atlanta Hawks 1989 roster. I mean,
yeah, but you know what? Too, I also like before you go, I want to congratulate you on your show, like, on the new show. I love it, and it sounds like I'm not the only one. It looks like I'm not the only one who loves the show. It's lots of energy, great sports discussion. This is the way that I remember, you know, I'm not like a sports radio head. I only go back to like 2003 when I first started listening to sports radio. But this reminds me of that, you know, of some of the parts of the golden era of sports radio. So, like, it's a great, great show. And I love the work that you're doing. Really love the work that you're doing.
Thank you.
I just wanted to congratulate you on that.
Thank you, Cuzzo. I can only do it one way. Right. And you do it the right way. I, you know, from my times growing up in the business, it is about energy. It's about strong opinions. It's about energy. It's having, but also having fun, too. Yeah. I think that my whole thought is, as someone who worked nights for 14 years, now doing mornings, like, it's all about energy and it's all about making people think, people laugh. And I keep every morning I drive in and think about how once I'm downtown, and I don't know how often you've been to downtown as of late, Cuzzo, but it is sad, man. It's like, yeah. You see the train go by like at 7 o'clock. We could be in a commercial. I'll paint a picture. We're in a commercial, right? So we'll be in a commercial, and I'll look outside. We're on the 7th floor of that building that I work in on Staten Lake. And we can look down at the L tracks, and there's like one person, two people. You look at the whole train that comes in on the red line, and it's like three people on a train, four people on a train in rush hour, what used to be rush hour. You see, like, you see very few people walking around downtown. And so I always think when I'm driving in, man, we're in a really tough time right now. And so if we can make people laugh or think or smile, then I think I've done my job that day, because we are going through it. Doesn't matter what side of the aisle that you're on. From an economic standpoint, everything that's going on in 2020 that's been upside down, I always think when I take that mic, I got to be able to entertain, inform, and just have some light moments, man, because we are going through some deep shit in 2020, however you look at it. And so I think we all could use a little bit of levity and thoughtfulness and, you know, some good sports conversation just to get people's mind off of things, because it's tough.
Yeah, it is. And you all are definitely providing that. And I know, like you said a lot, like, this is not your Katie Vance's morning show. Like, it's not boring, not filled with just 100 guests. And like, that's refreshing. That's refreshing for someone who wants to hear about Chicago sports. Like, hey, you know what? I can you tune in, and you don't want to miss anything, you know, because I am driving down to the downtown area through my youngest son goes to his school is down there, so
yeah.
Taking him down there, it's like, okay, I got to get out the car and take him in, but okay, we're going to sit here for another 5 minutes until the commercial comes on, you know, and then I'll run up and, you know, and come back down, because you don't want to miss anything. That's how great the show is. So yeah, it's something that Chicago Sports Radio has been missing, and we really needed it, and I'm glad you were providing it.
I appreciate that. Cap and I have a fun time every morning, and we do it our way. And again, we just started on August 17th, but, you know, we got a long way to go. I'm appreciative of everybody, you know, checking in, and you've seen the columns. I talked about that in the open, so I definitely appreciate it. We just got to keep going, man. We just want people to have more people under the tent and feel like, hey, we're not going to talk down to you. We want you to be part of something special. And so we're growing the show. Absolutely. And we're looking to try to do more. I mean, it's been a couple of months, but we're trying to do this. If we're in a great place in the next couple of years, then that's what I'm looking forward to. But so far, so great. You know, so I'm having fun.
Good to hear. Really good to hear.
All right, Cuzzo. Let's see if we can get on the other side of this virus so we can all get together again and have some cigars and drinks and, you know, argue about the 1989 Bulls roster.
Looking forward to
that's it. Not even you. That's just Maceo. Aaron Pryor was great. Let me tell you, let me ask you a question. Marciano or Aaron Pryor? I don't know, Maceo. I don't know. Fuck. Stop asking me. You know who's really good? Pernell Whitaker. He was really like, okay, all right. Pernell Whitaker was great. All right.
That's it. Like, he was robbed. He beat
you. That was some good boxing. I'm gonna get a whole bunch of like boxing. I'm gonna have him come over. Like, here, man, just sit down here and just watch 15 rounds of boxing from the 80s when they were tearing their brains out for every punch. Here's what you want. Sit down and watch this. that's his day.
Right.
See that CTE? Every punch, you got a concussion. Yeah, that's the good old days. Yeah. So, he's crazy. All right, man.
All right, thanks for having me, Cuzzo.
All the best to you and the family, Cuzzo. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you.